community engagement session last night in Williams Lake. It looks like quite a bit of turnout. How do you feel it went?
I was relatively happy with it. I hope that the public went away feeling like they'd learned some stuff about Caribou Recovery Program, about how the Species at Risk Act obligates governments to do certain things, the difference between the partnership agreement in the Northeast and the Section 11 agreement that applies, if confirmed by Cabinet, to the Southern Mountain Caribou in BC. So I was reasonably happy. And I'm looking forward to talking to people more about it in the future.
And I believe it was mentioned that there will be significant economic impacts in areas such as Chetwynd. Can you confirm that?
Well, we don't know what those impacts may or may not be yet. And there is a socioeconomic analysis ongoing for the areas the partnership agreement applies to. And until we have the results of that and we've been able to discuss it with the communities, it's probably not best not to sort of banty about things because we'd just be guessing at this point.
Okay, so guessing for that area. What about the Caribou area, including Williams Lake? Would that be guessing as well?
The Section 11, as it is right now, we don't anticipate there would be any significant social or economic impact in moving forward the way it is, and it probably allows us greater flexibility versus just sort of the hard tools that the Species at Risk Act could employ. So I think we're in a better place than we potentially could be. And it provides us lots of opportunities to have discussions with communities about how we move forward, what caribou recovery looks like on the landscape, and discussing sort of what the landscape can withstand from a resiliency perspective, or what kind of resilient landscape we'd like to have on the land. The Species at Risk Act obligates the federal minister to do certain things once a species is listed as threatened or endangered. And Southern Mountain Caribou are listed as threatened. And then the federal ministry must produce a recovery strategy for that species, which they've done. The federal minister then has obligations to assess how that species is doing in relation to the recovery plan. And she's done that as well. And the next sort of step of that is then, okay, if it's threatened and the recovery actions aren't bringing it back, there still needs to be recovery action taken. Then she has to consider, okay, what's the next step? And the next step potentially and likely would be an emergency protection order. And then she produces that, gives it to the federal cabinet for consideration. And without anything else, that's where we would be. But with the Section 11, she would also take the protection order, but also the Section 11 and say, here's a protection order, but there's also this Section 11 that allows us to work collaboratively with BC and Indigenous partners and other stakeholders across the province to recover caribou. It allows them greater flexibility in applying the Species at Risk Act.
Okay. And I know there was quite a bit of mention about wolves in the
Yes.
caribou area. Are they a problem?
So they definitely do impact caribou. We know that in many places they are the primary driver to population declines, but they're not the ultimate cause of that decline. The changes in the landscape have allowed the greater densities of wolves to be present on the landscape, and so you end up with this higher predation rate, which then wolves kind of wear that. In the caribou region, we're currently assessing that and have a number of collars on wolves out there to better understand what the density is and what their predation rates are on caribou.
Is there thoughts of doing a call on them?
Not at this moment. It's a tool that we have in our toolkit for caribou management and caribou recovery. And it's also a tool that we've demonstrated as being successful in stabilizing populations and sort of to start to turn that corner in the short term. So it's certainly something that we're considering.
Okay. Changes to the landscape. What are some of those changes?
Well, in the caribou region, there's significant changes, that both human changes and just, you know, ecological changes. And if you just were to step back 20 years, the mountain pine beetle epidemic that swept through the Chilcotin and other parts of the caribou was unprecedented. The salvage logging that followed that mountain pine beetle infestation altered the landscape again. And then more recently, the fires that have occurred have altered it again. And all of these things cumulatively have an impact on caribou recovery. And so it becomes a challenge to sort of build a caribou recovery program that takes into account the community stability that's required, the effect that could be on stakeholder groups, whether they be recreation or industry, and also the considerations of the indigenous communities, and all the while trying to build populations of caribou back to something that's more sustainable than it is now, because we're seeing significant declines in those areas.
And besides wolves, I know there was quite a few questions as well about backcountry and hunting. When it comes to individuals, backcountry or hunters, how will it impact them?
So the Section 11 doesn't contemplate any backcountry management. It simply provides a structure for the recovery planning to occur and allows the federal government to participate in that in a much more official manner. Moving forward, as we go through the herd planning process, there may be some discussion about those things, but not in a widespread manner. And in the caribou region, a lot of those constraints are already on the land base that came through other processes related to previous caribou management projects. So I don't anticipate much at all in the caribou region, if anything.
Okay. And I haven't checked, but there's been other meetings held already, engagement sessions?
Yep. Yeah, okay. That was the fifth one,
okay.
Yeah.
How does the meeting in Williams Lake compare to the meetings in other communities? Similar concerns?
Similar, but I would say, given that we were in the Northeast last week, so we had four sessions in the Northeast, most of those discussions were focused on the partnership agreement because it's more applicable to that area. And in the caribou region, I think there was a lot more discussion about dispelling myths about the things that we're contemplating, like the backcountry closures. Like that was something that gained traction in social media, and it's just not why we're coming out to talk to people.
And with the partnership agreement for the Northeast, why have a partnership agreement and perhaps not have a partnership agreement in the caribou area, in our area?
So the partnership agreement I'll step back. The Section 11 is an agreement between BC and Canada and applies to the whole Southern Mountain Caribou area. The partnership agreement is an agreement between BC, Canada, and two Indigenous communities, the West Moberly First Nations and the Soto First Nation. Those two nations are signatories to the Treaty 8, which provides them it obligates them to do certain things, and as well as it obligates the Crown to do certain things. And part of the obligation that the communities up there felt was their obligation to stewardship of land. And they've demonstrated significant investment in caribou recovery over the years, starting with a self-imposed hunting moratorium in the early 70s. They stopped hunting caribou because they recognized there was something going on. And since then, they've been real leaders in caribou recovery in that area. And so they approached government and said, hey, we're doing all this stuff to recover caribou in the area. We'd like to have a partnership agreement with the two other levels of government in Canada. And that's sort of the genesis of that.
Okay. Is it possible to perhaps get other partnership agreements if, per se, the SoCo team were to reach out?
Well, I don't anticipate there be the same sort of agreement. I do think that we'll be working hand in hand with the SoCo team and the SDNA and other Indigenous communities across the province, but maybe more in a more operational, kind of less bureaucratic way than the partnership agreement is, and be able to do things that work through operational kind of caribou recovery issues with existing structures that they already have, like wildlife round tables, engagement tables with sort of G2G government tables as well.
Okay. And last question I had for you, public comments, of course, you have to get them in by May 3rd at 4 p.m., once that closes, what is next?
So for the government folks, that ends, but it starts a bunch more work for us to collate all those comments, make sure that we've understood them and collected them all, put them in a document, like a what we heard document for the public, but also prepare those things for cabinet so that then they can see that information as they review the Section 11 and the partnership agreement to decide on the final, sort of their final of assessment of those two draft agreements to see, does it make sense to move forward the way they are? Do they need to have further discussions internally and ask questions and clarification of issues and things like that?